Hello. Hi, my name's Joe. So it's hard to believe now, a few years ago, 2024, I turned up on a cold, crisp autumn day at a large brick building in the middle of the Fens in Cambridgeshire. It's the high security prison HMP Whitemoor to deliver a horticultural course for the day. To go into the prison, you have to go into the entrance office bit, take off all your metal items, all your outer coats, all your belts, your boots, your bags, everything, and put it in through a big x-ray machine while some terrifying guards stare at you and you walk through a metal detector arch. So it's a thing I'd done many, many times before, so I did it as usual, put my bag through, walk through, get patted down. As I was coming out the other side, collecting my stuff, I overheard one of the guards whisper to the other one, He's got some loppers in his bag. And the other one looked at him and went, she said, but he's not allowed to have those. And the second guard again went, she somehow like built up the courage to come and affront me about it and told me I wasn't allowed to have them. I was supposed to have filled out a particular form, I was supposed to have gone another way. And so I apologized and said that I was going to fill out the form. I would definitely do it as soon as I got inside. And she let me through with my loppers to carry on unescorted through the prison to do my course. This is just one of the many surreal experiences that seem to come up quite a lot when working in prisons. Sometimes frustrating, sometimes bizarre. I ran for a few years a program called Seeding Hope, which was building and running tree nurseries in prisons, Whitemoor being one of the main ones. So the idea was that we would collect seed from outside the prisons, bring them in, stratify them with the guys, so clean them, look after them, put them in the fridge for a few months, grow them on, and then they would be planted out in community organizations and schools and things like that. But while we were doing this with the guys, we'd also put them through horticultural qualifications. So they'd come out with a vocational qualification in practical horticulture and also bring in therapists, nutritionists, talking people to help them make the most of the opportunity that there was in front of them. Hopefully some of that will become why we need to do that. So prisons, I don't know if anyone here has ever been in a prison as for work or as a customer, but they are rather terrifying and bleak places. At the moment, there's about 90,000 prisoners in the UK, and between 95 and 96% of those prisoners are men. It is a very, very gendered issue within this country. Not only that, 27% of them are from ethnic groups, minority ethnic groups, compared to 18% of the general population. And 56% of our prisons in this country are classified as crowded. So they are stressful, tiring, noisy places where men are put and largely forgotten about. So these are men who have obviously committed crimes, done bad things to people who didn't deserve it. But they are also people who have been, by and large, failed by society as well. Can you hear me? Yep. 24% of prisoners, newly sentenced prisoners, have experience of care growing up. That's compared to roughly 1% of the general population. 29% have experienced abuse, and 41% have observed abuse. And that experienced abuse goes up to 52% in young offenders institutes. This is a really sad thing that's gone all the way through these men's lives. 50% of prisoners cannot read to level one literacy. 57% read below the 11-year-old's level. 47% enter with no qualifications, 30% have a learning disability, compared to 2.5% of the general population. And then relevant to some of the work that I did as well, 23% have personality disorders of some kind. So these are people who have had chaotic, hard lives, have not made good choices, and are paying the price for it. I hear a lot about the glass ceiling in employment in this country. I think there is also a glass floor, that those of us who have the privilege of having a support system around us, there is a level that we can fall down to, but there'll be someone there to help us out. There are a large number of men in this country who don't have that support system, and they can fall very, very far down. Now, with all of that overcrowdedness of prisons, the lack of resources, the lack of officers, the crumbling infrastructure, some men in that are so unwell, even they get to have some mental health support. There aren't very many, but there are some trauma wings, personality disorder wings. They change the name every now and then through the years. These are men who have maybe linked to their criminal behavior, maybe not, have managed to convince enough people that they need support, that there is some there for them. These are generally small units, that they will be on a program over the course of 4 or 5 years. And there'll be a range of supports, I should say, but a lot of that is based on them coming to terms with their criminal behavior, their patterns and their thought processes, and trying to work their brains out of that. I strongly believe nature connection can be one of the tools that we can use to bring people back from that, and show them a new way to live in the world and as a society. Biophilia, the idea that we have brought up in nature as a species, we've lived very, very closely with the natural world for millennia. It is a part of us, and it is a basic human need that we have. Also, within the chaotic society that we have at the moment, there is a lot of things that we need to pay attention to. Your attention is demanded, and it is tiring, as I'm sure we all know. By the end of the day, we can be worn out and tired, and from having to give all this energy to our attention. Being in nature is a way that we can soften that focus, and it restores our energy, whether that is sitting under a tree, walking in the park, touching grass. All these kinds of things makes a real, real difference. There's also an idea of unselfing, so you connect to a larger sense of the world around you rather than just focusing on yourself, and that helps provide nourishment to the soul, which we all deserve and we all need. Now, plants particularly, as an intervention, have been proven through lots of studies to provide therapeutic outcomes, particularly within the criminal justice system. There are known what they call desistance pathways, these ways that people can work towards stopping the behaviors that have led them to commit criminal acts. So these include things like identity transformation, education and vocational training, and the mental health, the social support, and the spirituality, which hopefully provides some of the context of why we chose to set up the program in the way that we did. Horticultural therapy and growing things for people as well is a non-confrontational way for people to be with other people. Within the trauma wing, the FENS unit, the work that they're doing is very confrontational. People having to do a lot of talking about what they've done, their behavior, why they've, the patterns that they have, and what's caused them to be there. I had quite a few illuminating conversations with guys who had committed horrific events, and talking about their path onwards and outwards and to move on to different things. And they made it very, very clear that you cannot get recategorized, you cannot get parole if you do not admit your offense. So innocent people, if you genuinely believe you're innocent, you won't ever make it out of the system, or it'll take you an awful lot longer. But that confrontation of confronting what's often been the worst thing that you've done in your life and being judged about the one worst thing that you've ever done. It's really hard on people. And it's not to take away from the horrific things that these people have done. When you look after plants, you have to look after something. I know it sounds really, really basic, but you have to care for a thing. And these are men who have things, who are very aware that they are being looked after. They know that they're a burden on society. They're very aware of the cost of holding somebody in prison. In Whitemore, I think it's about £60,000 a year. It's about the equivalent of going to a private school that we're housing hundreds of people. And they know that, and they want to, there is a desire to give back. They know that they want to do something better. And looking after plants and working on themselves through plants and caring for something over a long period of time, and particularly with trees where you know that it's the start of a couple of hundred years of life of this tree, really does help put things in perspective and helps men care for something outside of them, and ultimately a rare opportunity. Prisons are bleak, as I said before. There is not very much nature. Where there is nature, it's often just mowed grass, maybe a very basic privet hedge. I did a fair amount of work trying to put in more wildflower areas and things, but the security gets a bit twitchy about some surprising things, particularly planting trees near fences. I once had to have a massive meeting with the security while we were trying to set up this program. I was talking about growing trees from seed, and they said, well, won't they be able to climb over them and get out of the walls? And these are 5 meter high fences, and we were growing 30 centimeter saplings. I don't quite know what he thought was going to happen, but yeah, it took quite a bit of convincing. Now, on top of all of this, when you grow things, often it fails. The plants die. In this case, a lot of plants died. I'll hopefully have time to talk about some of the reasons for that in a little bit. But dealing with the failure, dealing with the cycle of that, where things die and you use what you can and you try again and you learn and grow, was really, yeah, it's a bit of a sideways metaphor, but it really does help. And that does then offer no shame or low shame with it. And just on the practical point as well, coming in as a horticultural therapist, I'm not a therapist really in lots of ways. I'm not an officer, and so I could go in as a neutral third person. I wasn't an authority figure. I was there to give them something, and that gave a real opportunity to share information in ways that people don't normally. So, as I sort of touched on before, these are men who have done horrific things, and we would talk. They would often tell me about the crimes that they committed and the reasons they got there. They obviously didn't frame it in the things we were talking about before about the lack of glass floor or things like that. But the chaos and the trauma in their lives was always very evident, and it was tough at times, and it is tough to hear people talk about that and talk relatively matter-of-factly about it, but within the context of explaining why they got to where they did. And then you would flip on to more social subjects or chit-chat. The guys that I was with worked for a long time, massive fans of Married at First Sight. Absolutely loved it, and so they would spend ages telling me in detail the ins and outs of the what was going on in Married at First Sight. Very, very hilarious and surreal experiences. Big guys, tattoos, and yeah, but it was in some ways it was them being able to look at relationships of other people, often that they didn't have in their own lives. One gentleman I worked with for in various different ways for many years, he had committed a crime when he was 16, and a very violent crime. He was in his late 20s when I knew him, and had never been out of prison since, and was looking to be in there for a long time. And so his concept of what adult relationships like was obviously very, very twisted, going through the system from the Young Offenders Institute all the way up to Category A prisons. So that's in lots of ways the background. Well, what were we actually doing? So if we talk about what we were growing British British Seeds, trying to promote the use of native woodland, native hedging, standard trees, forest trees, and orchards within the country. So we would, I would collect and work with a few other people to collect seeds from stands, register them. You'd have to clean them different ways. Our trees have to go through a cycle. They have to go through a cold period, mostly, before they'll germinate. So you can either leave them outside and hope the winter gets cold enough. Now it often doesn't, so you can force that by putting them in the fridge. So we would bag them up, put them in the fridge, check them every week, and bring them out. And when they started to sprout, we would then prick them out and grow them on in root trainers. We would also tried in lots of ways to grow. So I'm very passionate about apple trees. I love apple trees. I like cider. We obviously couldn't make cider, but we could graft apple trees. So we... We try to graft an apple tree. You take a rootstock of the roots you want and the scion wood that you want, and you cut them. You cut them both in just a way. You bind them together, and something new comes out of it. I'm sure there's a metaphor in there somewhere about something. Anyway, and so we would do that. I'd got an agreement that they would let me. Let the guys do the cutting. We chained the knives to the table, and they weren't able to reach each other. And then I turned up one morning with a dozen very sharp knives to a prison gate, slightly apprehensive, and they wouldn't let me in, surprisingly enough, because prison security is serious and very, very fickle, it turns out. So to get tools into a prison, you normally need to turn up, provide a tool list. So you need to provide a list of absolutely everything that you are going to bring in. So that's down to, you have to count every single screw. You have to take everything. Then you have to go through that with an officer who will go through everything, can sign it all off. And then you'll go to where you work, and every hour they'll count everything again, and you have to make sure that everything is accounted for. And at the very end, everything you're taking out, they sign off. The problem is, one, the officers are stretched and don't have time, and two, often they don't want to put their name to it, so they just let you through. But you don't know. You don't know till you turn up. Some things have to go through an X-ray machine, but you don't know till you turn up. It's one of the many, many practical challenges of working in the prison, that the security is very, very strict, but it is often dependent on the risk of the person who is dealing with you. So you can't always tell what you can do. But so yeah, I turned up. So I'd spoken to the governors, I'd spoken to the people delivering the calls. Everyone agreed that I could do this grafting, I could make it all work. We'd done designs, we'd got all the bits to make it all attached, we'd all got it agreed, and all I needed, the reason they wouldn't let me through the gates is because no one would put their name to it. It's as simple as that. No one would wanted to take on the risk themselves to do it, and so we had to find other ways. Challenges then, I converted, there's a bit of old AstroTurf out the back of the prison that I've been able to put some raised beds and greenhouses and a few bits. For some reason they let me put in a grass greenhouse but not a polytunnel. I never really understood that. But there was no water on the site. It was a parched, about half an acre of AstroTurf. There was no water because, well, one, you're not allowed more than a meter of hose in the tools. Any more than a meter, something will happen. So you weren't allowed that. There wasn't a tap. I did get a quote to put in. There was a water point just outside the other side of the internal fence. But it would have been £60,000 to put in about 10 metres of pipe and a hose, so obviously no one wants to pay for that. Interestingly, actually, one of the reasons we'd done that was because the guys had dug out one of the big beds and wanted to put some fish in it, and I pointed out that they couldn't put fish in it unless they had water. Yeah, but they'd already done the hard work, so they were very disappointed that didn't happen. One of the many, many disappointments. And so we collected rainwater, and there was a water point, but it was dependent on the officers in their lunch break coming down and filling up the water butts so we could use it, because we couldn't have them in. Obviously, you couldn't have the gate open while the guys were in there. And if one of the one of the many times we went there, and we couldn't get in for one reason or another. The watering didn't get done, hence losing a lot of trees. Obviously, you can't have any automatic watering systems. So you've got tools, you've got access to water, you've got time as well. So like we had the capacity to run this course. We could have done it as much as we were able to, but so they said, okay, no, we can only do 1 day a week. So okay, we can do 1 day, 4 day, grand, we can do that. So okay, right, well, the guys won't be able to come out until 9:30. So okay, that's fine, I can be there for 9:30. So okay, but they've got to go in and got to be banged up for their lunch at 11:30, because we can't, they've got to be banged up while we do all the lunch stuff. So, okay, excellent. Well, we can. Well, that's 2 hours. We can do stuff in the afternoon. So, okay, well, they can't come back out again until 2:00. So, okay. And then they've got to go off for their dinner at 4:00. So a whole week's worth of time is 4 hours. That's if they turn up on time. If they don't get banged up, they don't get locked down, someone doesn't jump on the nets, something doesn't happen, that you couldn't come out, as is often the case, or waiting for medication and things. So. That's a bleak point to end on. There is lots of challenges, but it was worth it. When it worked, it was fantastic. I've had grown men crying because they've walked on grass for the first time in 10 years. I've had people making realizations about their past and what they're capable of and their possibilities for the future, all while tending trees and plants in the gardens. It is, for all the hard work, it is the small wins that the guys don't often get. It is incredibly rewarding, but horrifically hard work. I haven't got a thesis on what we should do different. I think that there is just so many challenges. So to send this off, I managed to run the course completely like that for one complete year. In one prison. There was a few other prisons that we'd done similar things, but not to the full extent. And out of those, two people, they all completed it. We had a dozen guys complete it. Two of them I know through their own hard work, was not all through our course, but went on to be recategorized, including the young, the chap who had been in prison since he was 16. He went on to be able to move away from Cat C, move down to Cat B, move prisons on his way out of the system, or another step towards his way out of the system. And there was two other men who were on a similar path at the end of it. Some other people were further away from that. So, inevitably and predictably, money ran out. The funding that we needed to make it run. It was supposed to be self-sustaining with the trees, but trees take a long time to grow, and the funding dropped out with very little notice, and the whole, that part of it had to unfortunately close. That's my happy story. Trees are fantastic. We need more of them. We need more compassion for men in prison, and we need more nature all the way through our lives. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.